Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning, Patriots. It's been a long night. Oh, my goodness. I hope you guys had a great week. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and surviving another week. I tell you what, we're going to talk about this in just a little bit with this cyber attack. I thought I was experiencing one of those. The lights went out at Studio C, Radio Free Readout. We got to move around, you know, for security reasons, but boom, power goes out, everything goes black, and I'm thinking, oh, well, this is it. Here comes the EMP. Everything came right back on, except I had to reboot everything. So here we are. It's just, isn't it a weekly occurrence? It's like somebody fires a cyber missile at us every week. But anyway, we're back. We're operational and just on time. God is good, right? All right. Now, there's some stuff that I'm going to be talking about today that I've been kind of alluding to. And it was a really good segue with some listener letters that I'm going to kind of springboard off of. And we're talking about empires in the last couple of weeks on Radio Free Readout here at ACN. And then also our weekly podcast over at RadioFreeReadout.com. And we're talking about the rise and the fall of empires throughout history. And there's something that I've been also talking about, and that is, you know, when these empires collapse, what emerge are, you know, fragmented, smaller nation states. It's not the same republic. But that is only if things are left to themselves. And typically what we've seen is with empires being overturned is conquest, an invading foreign entity, another government, another nation invading and throwing the people into the fallen empire into servitude, bondage. Well, I'm going to talk about that with based off some listener questions, and then also another really important question, and that is, as Christians, should we even be worried about that? Because here we are as, you know, Christians in this world, but not of this world. And so we're gonna talk about that. Hopefully, you know, shed some light on some of those things from a Christian perspective from mine. And I've really prayed about this and meditated on this. I'm very cautious when I talk about scripture and the word of God. I do not want to mess it up. You realize how much responsibility there is there for people who teach or talk or preach from the word. And I'm not a pastor. I'm just a godly man, and I want to do the right thing. Doesn't mean I always do, and I fall short often. But there's some things that are really pressed on my heart as a soldier, a former soldier, a warrior in at heart, and a Christian who loves my country and a patriot. So we're going to be talking about that today. We've got several things we're going to be going over, but first let's get into the news and commentary. The news is next here from APUPI and the major American networks right here on Radio Free Readout. And it's brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series, 299days.com. All right. In international news, from military.com, interesting, as European allies watch Russian aggression in Europe with concern, the Norwegian government's considering allowing a small contingent of U.S. Marines to be based in the country to facilitate better military cooperation and to be at the ready in the event of a crisis. Of course, 300 Marines. There's our typical our proverbial 300 standing in the gap. And over there in Norway, Finland, and well, so that whole area right there is a very probable jump off point. Sweden, Norway, and Finland. 300 Marines they're talking about putting there as things continue to escalate. We've really been following this closely. And there's some mixed reviews as far as what folks think that Russia is very capable of. Don't underestimate them. I've seen some commentary. Russia doesn't have what it takes. They don't have the military. They're weak. They're broke. This is the part that's going to catch everybody rocking back on their heels and stunned should all of this, you know, come to fruition. And we know that it will because we know scripture. We know there's a showdown. We know that there's some heavy hitters coming out of the north. And China and Russia will probably play extremely significant roles in that. Don't underestimate them. There's a power there that is being built up spiritually and strategically, tactically, militarily, and otherwise. Here's one out of the UK from the Express UK. The headline is sexual partner fertility disability. Is a disability based on the World Health Organization's failure to find a sexual partner is now a disability, says the World Health Organization. What does this mean? Just more and more perversion? Well, it's worse. Under the new rules, heterosexual single men and women and gay men and women who want to have children will now be given the same priority as a couple. Like as in a man and woman couple seeking to adopt because of medical fertility problems. Okay, so critics branded the new laws as absurd nonsense, arguing that the organization has overstepped the mark by moving into social matters rather than health. But that's what they do. It should be no surprise. The United Nations, it has to happen. There must be a centralized one world government. And of course, we know how they're going to operate. They're going to collect that much power to themselves. It will be irresistible. It will be tyrannous. It will be immoral, amoral, and it will be oppressive and cumbersome and expensive. But we also know that it has to take place, right? That's just the direction that we're going. Now, what else we got here? Let's talk about the cyber attacks just for a few minutes. Because we are strong proponents of self-reliance as God-fearing patriots. That means we generally are Christian and conservative and patriotic. We love our country, but we also know that we have some very challenging times ahead, and those various different threats can come from many different directions. So when that happens and the economy is disrupted, social order is disrupted, we need to be able to weather that storm so we can be effective, spread the gospel, and perpetuate our values, our heritage, and pass that on to the next generation and do that in a God-honoring way and support our nation from a Christian perspective. So one of the attacks, one of the threats that we face is the cyber threat, as we experienced yesterday. Now, some of you were affected by this. Some of you were not. But it's something that the IT folks are urging us to pay very close attention to because it is a vulnerability that it's one of the chinks in our armor. It's one of the weak links in the strength of our nation, and not just our nation. This is a worldwide problem. But cyber attacks pounded the underpinnings of the internet yesterday, crippling Twitter, Netflix, and a bunch of other websites. A bunch. With the help of once dumb devices made smart with online connections, they say. You know, phones, cameras, baby monitors, that type of things. So waves of attacks incapacitated a crucial piece of internet infrastructure, hampering or outright blocking access to popular online venues. And this former spy hunter on the FBI counterintelligence force says, this is not some hacker sitting in his basement typing away on a keyboard. Now, we know that host nations and other major players have been probing our transportation, telecommunications, our economic, all of that infrastructure through the internet, cyber attacks. The attack was said to put a troubling new spin on an old hacker attack known as distributed denial of service, or DDoS, DDoS, where millions of devices in the fast-growing internet of things took part in the cyber onslaught. So what happens is armies of computers infected with this malicious code are typically used in DDoS attacks intended to overwhelm the targets with simultaneous online requests. It just melts it down, just completely shuts it down. Well, they're saying we're seeing attacks coming from a number of different locations. Level 3 Communications Internet Service Company Chief Security Officer Dale Drew said in a statement, he said, we're seeing attacks coming from an Internet of Things botnet that we identified called Mirai and also involved in this attack. Okay, so what does all this mean? It means that we are still extremely vulnerable. And they also go on to say the critical point is how fragile our internet is that these attacks can happen. And they've even said the internet was not and is not designed with heavy security in mind. It's a constant game of cat and mouse. But what they can do is they can disrupt. Oh, here's what he told the AFP. Simply put, the internet in its original and modern form was not designed with security in mind. Well, basically what I just said. So, you know, these are pretty critical things. We have some resources here. When everything went down right before the show, I had a list of resources that you can monitor these internet outages, and I'm looking for it now. So it's not there. So what I'll do is I'll add that to the highlights and resources posting for this week's show. So you'll be able to go and check those out and track that. You can track the internet outages, if that makes sense. Okay. Let's go into some of the American Redoubt news. There's something that just recently developed. We're going to take a break here in just a second. But we've got a wolf issue in the American Redoubt. And I was talking about this last week, where the numbers of elk and, well, all game, large game, are really taking a hit. So our cattle, well, there's more problems than meets the eye. And we're going to talk about that when we come back here at Radio for Redoubt.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Hey, everyone. This is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name, too.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of
history. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
have... To change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. The communists set out to brainwash the people.
Every Monday, we need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in and staying with us. And thank you for your prayers and your support. Don't forget to join us every Sunday evening for our 8 p.m. podcast at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. That and this, what we are streaming live right now outside the wire into occupied territory and across eastern Washington, northeast Oregon, and north Idaho. On the terrestrial stations. These audio files are all uploaded to our Podbean player, Podbean site. It's radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. And that, of course, is linkable over to from radiofreeredoubt.com. This segment, segment two, is brought to you by Riverfront Suites, riverfrontsuites.com. If you need a place to get away, or if you just need a place to rest your head while you are in the area looking for property, looking for work, looking to strategically relocate to the American Redoubt, check them out, riverfrontsuites.com, right outside of St. Mary's, Idaho, on the St. Joe River. Beautiful place. Beautiful. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And I always love hearing from you guys. I'm sort of mostly caught up from this week, from last week when I was on that great hunting trip. Now, speaking of hunting, I got an email and just before the break, we're talking about the wolf situation. And before I forget, if you guys want to help out Radio for Redoubt and Amron.com, we greatly appreciate it. But you know, we have an affiliate link at Radio Free Redoubt and Amron.com. It costs you nothing for whatever you're shopping for on Amazon.com, whether it's patio furniture or barbecue or a ham radio or a book, whatever it is. If you click through the link to Amazon.com from Radio Free Redoubt or Amron.com, then we get a small affiliate fee for that, for sending you over there. It doesn't cost you anything. They just pocket it if they don't have to pay it out to someone. And that's a great way for you to be able to help out Radio for Redoubt. So thank you guys for doing that. Please remember that. Set it up in your bookmark it. Bookmark your links to go to Radio for Redoubt. Just bookmark the link that you use to go from radioforredoubt.com to Amazon. That'd be a huge help. Now, I got this listener letter from a guy that was hunting. He says, I was up in the panhandle, talking about Idaho, with an elk tag. And a friend of mine had a moose tag, shot this bull moose. Well, when we were field dressing the bull, we opened the chest and abdomen, and we came across organs and viscera full of golf ball-sized tapeworm cysts that are more than likely the result of the gray wolf transplant, contaminating the local prey animals or game animals of the Pacific Northwest states. Risk of protracting the disease is too high to consider the meat consumable. We drove the animal down to the fish and game officers for their assessment. They acknowledged the problem exists and admitted they were unprepared to deal with the problem as they have not been tasked with a solution. Insanity. Stay safe. And then left his name. This is a serious problem. Our large game, one of our main food sources for outdoorsmen, moose, wolf, moose, elk, and deer are now being completely, there's an article right here. It's called from the skinnymoose.com. And I actually have a subject matter expert that I'm going to be talking to about this, is very well versed in this. But this article was from 2009 from the Outdoorsman. But apparently they said in Alaska and northern Canada, they had these, the cysts were present in moose and caribou. And they had an article here, including the statistics on the number of reported human deaths. Human deaths in Alaska alone, over 300 cases of hydatid disease in humans had been reported since 1950 as a result of canids, the dog family, primarily wolves, contaminating the landscape with billions of E-granulous eggs in their feces called scat. And these invisible eggs are ingested by grazing animals, both wild and domestic, and occasionally by humans who release clouds of eggs into the air by kicking the scat or picking it up to see what the wolves have been eating, to look at their, see what their diet is. This is a parasitic disease that's spread, that the fish and game knows about now. They've known about it since like 2009. And they know that it's directly related to the wolves. And reports that have come out, they've buried it or they've undermined the information until they couldn't ignore it anymore. Now they acknowledge it, but they just don't have a solution. But other experts have been trying to bring... The reason why I'm telling you this is because in the American Redoubt, we have a wolf problem. And wild game is one of our food sources. Not only that, cattle that are open grazing are in wolf territory. They are also susceptible to this, and so are humans, because we eat beef and wild game. So there are good, perfectly otherwise good animals that have to be put down or cannot be consumed after being harvested because of this, because of the wolves. Because the wolves, and I mistakenly said, these are Canadian, not Alaskan. I said they're Alaskan. They're not. They're actually Canadian timber wolves that have been, the gray wolf, that has been transplanted into Washington, Idaho, Montana, and they're not even indigenous to those areas from the reports that I've seen. And so get a hold of your legislator and tell them to help us eradicate this menace that is destroying one of our food supplies. And it just needs to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. Now, wrapping up the news there, I wanted to talk about a couple of listener letters. I'm going to kind of put the cart before the horse here in a way, because this first one's talking about rebuilding. How do we go about rebuilding? You've talked about this and I'm very intrigued in this, but you know, how do we do it? The other one is, you know, should we even be worried about building anything as Christians, because this is not our home? So I'm going to address the rebuilding first. And this is the letter. John, I've recently gotten into listening to your podcast. I really enjoy and find them very insightful. Okay, move on from that. Anyway, I have heard you mention multiple times on various podcasts about making it through the collapse to come out on the other side and influence the rebuilding. That idea has really got me thinking. I've never really looked that far ahead or even considered being a part of the rebuilding of our small areas. I was wondering if you could do a podcast discussing the rebuilding after the collapse. What things we might want to do beforehand and things we might want to try afterward, and how would we become someone that the rebuilding, here's the key. Here's a linchpin of it all. How do we become someone that the rebuilding community might listen to? Okay, great question. Now, first of all, this is a man, and I'm assuming you have a family. So you already have influence over someone in your community that will listen to you. Okay, now, how do you get through? Getting through the collapse is the easy part. And we're talking historically based, these nations that collapse. I'm not talking about an outside influence like an invading military. which is actually the majority of the case examples, and especially when facing judgment by God. He will hand the nation over that's rebelled against him to a foreign army, a foreign government. You'll go into bondage. That's how it normally plays out. We are praying for his mercy so that he will protect his remnant in a way that would allow us to be spared from that, no matter what happens to the rest of the country. That's why, you know, God-fearing patriots are gathering to the Inland Pacific Northwest and other conservative strongholds. Could it be that we could be protected? We don't know. We could go into bondage, just like Daniel and Ezra and all those guys. Sorry, you are now part of the Babylonian Empire. And they had to function within that system. Lots of lessons to be learned there. And that should also be something that we cover as well. But right now, let's get through the collapse and let's position ourselves, because we want to make sure that we are proactive in our efforts. And that's what Radio Free Readout is. The American Readout Movement is very proactive. It's long-term vision. So first of all, to rebuild, you want to have some type of say on what that's going to look like. So the first thing that we need to do as Christian patriots is we need to relearn our heritage. Now, first of all and foremost, we are biblically illiterate. We must immerse ourselves in the Word of God, starting from the Old Testament and working your way through to the gospel, because it is completely built on the law and the history of the Old Testament. So much, when you see a Jew that becomes a Christian, an ethnic Jew, practicing Jew, who becomes a Christian, you should see, it's amazing, the light, the wonder in their eyes, because they've so been immersed in the Old Testament. When they stumble across the New Testament and force themselves to actually finally get around to reading it, everything that the disciples and Jesus talked about comes into full clarity for them when the veil is lifted. Okay, but to us, it's just we're reading only the surface without understanding the powerful foundation of it. So we need to know God's word. Secondly, you need to know your American heritage and the things that influenced our founding fathers. 200 years worth has influenced our founding fathers, from the works of John Locke to all of the treatises and other forms of constitutions and other governing documents that were an amalgamation of, well, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution are an amalgamation of all of that. We've completely lost that. It's like history began in 1776 for most Americans, especially the patriots. So you've got to go deeper than that. And we're going to talk about that. And there's more that I'm going to add to this before we start talking about Christians building anything here in the first place. This is Radio Free Readout. Don't go away.
This is Bruce DeLay with a Patriot Moment. You may have watched the recent Fox debate featuring GOP presidential hopefuls. No doubt it's enough to frustrate even the most pious Christian. But did you know that the Bible gives us the criteria, the qualifications to look for in a candidate, whether it's federal, state, or local? Moses chose leaders according to the words found in Exodus 18 and verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. That means someone who can do the job. Such as fear God, God-fearing people, men of truth. That is, they won't lie. Hating covetousness, that means they can't be bribed. And place such over the people. Be sure to register to vote. Voting is the very least that we can do. And keep Exodus 18:21 handy as we approach election time. This is Bruce DeLay with Heartland Church in Tulsa, And this is your Patriot Moment.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever, we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
The voice of the American Readout, coming at you live from inside the wire in an undisclosed location, broadcasting right now across the American Readout and beyond, outside the wire into occupied territory. Be encouraged. Be of good hope. Be of hope. And this is Radio Free Readout. Welcome to all of our right-wing mainstreamists. And just remembering that you are not the extremist. Somebody said, there was a great article for entertainment purposes, just railing on all the patriots. It was like a who's who of all the patriots in the Patriot Hall of Fame by the SPLC. And they had me list John Jacob Schmidt interviewed the lands commissioner candidate, John Jacob Schmidt, the anti-government extremist, which is just... while shaking my head, it's pathetic. And of course it's obvious. They blew all credibility because it's obvious that they have not been listening. Because I've articulated it before. I am not anti-government. I am pro-government. And somebody put it this: government is an institution designed by God. Okay. We're supposed to follow the government, and the government is responsible for upholding the law. And of course, they're instruments of God. So when they're acting ungodly, they're just all messed up in all kinds of ways. But no, somebody said, I'm not an anti-government extremist. I'm anti-extremist government. And when a government is promoting the murdering of babies and compelling people to pay for it, when the government is advancing, supporting, and funding sexual immorality, sexual deviancy, that's a problem, right? I'm opposed. That's extreme. Me and my mainstream values, you know, good traditional Christian conservative values, I'm not the extreme one. So I'm not falling for it. It's interesting too, when somebody says you're anti-government extremist. And of course, that's all there is. There's no supporting evidence. There's no documentation. There's no articulation of how they reached that conclusion. But I just want to, I mean, I have no desire to even speak to these ilk, and I won't. But if I were to, if I ran into them in a coffee shop, hey, you're the guy that said this thing about me. Let me ask, what do you base that on? Show me the examples of what you base that on. Show me the evidence, but there isn't any. That's okay. It's just left-wing propaganda, Saul Alinsky tactics, communist-based type of, you just got to let it roll off your back, right? But you also have to be strong enough to know, I know what I'm standing for is right, regardless of what they say. Now, how would someone that the rebuilding community might listen to? Well, first of all, you might not be somebody that the rebuilding community needs to listen to. All right. You might be the guy that listens to others. Then your job is to support them. But you do have a family that will listen to you. And I broke this down for those of you considering what your role might be in a rebuilding of a collapsed system or society. Well, here's the thing. If you're not practicing now, you won't do it then. I broke this down. Learn, do, teach, observe, support, and lead. So I started right before the break talking about this. First of all, learn. Learn the word and learn your heritage. Read all of our founding documents, including the, I'm a hypocrite here, including the Federalist Papers, because I haven't read the Federalist Papers, all of them. I bits and pieces as I'm doing research and stuff, but I will join you in going through the rest of these documents and learning our heritage. Read the autobiographies or the biographies of our founding fathers and get inside their head to start learning the things that influenced them and the way that they thought so that you begin thinking like they think, like they thought. Okay? Now, learn, do. Then, do. Do become active in your community. Contribute. Don't sit back counting your stacks of spam. By the way, there's nothing wrong with spam. Spam rocks, all right? But, well, you're caught up in the prepper thing, you're forgetting about the patriot thing. Get involved in your community. I don't care if it's at the city council level, the county planning board, commission, whatever, or your church, or a Boy Scout group, or whatever it is. What's the equivalent of the Girl Scouts? The American Girls? I think it's American Heritage Girls. American Girls. Not Girl Scouts. If you're a lady, get involved in teaching others, which is the next thing. Teach. Because you learn, and you start doing it, and then teach others. All right? Observe. What this means is you need to observe active leaders now. And I'm talking clergy. I'm talking community leaders. I'm talking about elected officials. I don't care if it's the county commissioner or somebody on your city council or your local state legislator, a senator. In your community, identify those people that appear to be God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots that are fighting for the things that we care about now. Those are the people that will be the masses will be looking to for answers. They will also need lots of support. You asked, how would we become someone that the rebuilding community might listen to? Those are the people that the rebuilding community would be listening to. Those are the people that you want to listen to. And those are the people that you want to support. Be prepared to support them because they are going to be facing fierce opposition by a globalist system that already has a solution, a response, an answer, and a future culture already designed. Even if only in their beady little brains, they know how this perfect one-world utopia is going to supposedly look. So our God-fearing patriot leaders, legislators, anybody with influence, influential people, are going to need your help. Be prepared to support them and start supporting them now. Help them with their election campaigns. Help them with mailing things. Help them with helping to prepare legislation, to do some of the research for them. Begin building relationships with them so that they build a trust relationship with you at this point. Don't elevate yourself to think that you're going to be someone that everyone's going to listen to. That may or may not be the case. Be prepared to back up and support those who already have legitimate positions of influence that people look to for, will be looking to for solutions. And then finally, lead. Learn, do, teach, observe, support, and lead. The next thing is, if you feel called and you prayerfully approach this and you feel led to lead, then lead. Then get involved in your community, run for a public office, or take on some type of position where you can actually be in a leadership position. And then the Lord may prepare you to be one of those people that are listened to. Until then, you listen to others that are already established, legitimate leaders that the community already looks to for answers, guidance, and leadership. All right. So anyway, thanks for the question. I hope that helped out some. Now, here's another one I'm going to spend the next about 25 minutes on. 20 minutes on. Here are some thoughts that have been bouncing around in my mind for a while. This is from a listener. America has been decomposing for some time. Why? How? What do you do about it? Today's America is not the America our founding fathers intended for us to have. They gave us a republic, a country governed by law, not the people, not just a few people, and definitely not a king. The law. Our founding fathers gave us the U.S. Constitution. America's decomposition is not the Constitution's fault, I agree. We are not where we are today because the Constitution has failed. That's true. We have failed the Constitution. The Constitution didn't fail us. And rewriting the Constitution or amending it or fixing it is not going to fix the problems because we have a soul and heart and mind problem, not a constitutional problem. We have a constitutional crisis only because the Constitution was made only for a righteous and moral people, and it's wholly inadequate for the governing of any other kind of people. So that's just, I just threw that part in, but he also alludes to this as well. So how do we who love our country fix our country? Do we go around and preach the Constitution? Do we preach Americanism? No, neither of those will do because America has lost its moral compass. We need to proclaim the gospel. It is the only thing that has the power to change the moral direction of our country. But we preach the gospel not to save America, but to save souls. We as Christians are not commanded to build or save our country. I'm going to address that. We are commanded by Jesus to preach his kingdom, not this earthly one. Our motivation should be obedience to Christ and to see people saved by God's grace from the eternal damnation they deserve. I submit that a byproduct of people coming to Christ would be a revert back to the U.S. Constitution and the way it was intended. Okay, so that's the meat of it. Yes, absolutely. If there were a spiritual revolution, a revival in this country, if we would hear God's voice, if we would cry out to him and repent, he would hear us and he would heal our land. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Okay. But going back to, you know, how do we respond in after a collapse? How do we be part of the rebuilding? Well, first of all, you need to know what you stand for. If there is going to be a rebuilding, the remnant, the God-fearing patriots, need to understand where we came from. They have to understand what was lost. You have to understand what the genuine article is so you can recognize the counterfeits when they come along. And you have to be very adept in the things that influenced our nation to become the exceptional nation that it was. Okay, if you ever hope to restore that. Now, is it not our role to restore that? Should we be, are we not to be rebuilding or building anything? Is that not our job? Yes, we should be preaching the gospel. But I also talk about Americanism because America, the exceptional America, is so interwoven with the gospel is so interwoven through our founding of our country and even our founding documents. They are just inherently bound together. See, it's no wonder that our Constitution and our founding documents and our founding principles are being shredded because our morals are being shredded. We're being pulled apart. It's like two pieces of paper that have been glued together. You can separate them, but they'll never be the same again, right? They tear, they're damaged, they're ripped, they're torn. There's no beautiful way to do it, like a divorce. You cannot divorce the gospel and Christ-inspired principles and ideals into the founding documents of our country and separate those two. You can't have a godless American Constitution and keep the same Constitution. It's just, it's going to be torn asunder. Okay? So, should we be patriotic? And this is an issue that actually I'm continuing to work on the outline for a book that I'm working on to address these very things. Should Christians be patriots? Should they be preppers Should they live in fear, and you know, all these things that are swirling in our minds? Now, R.C. Sproul, he's a pastor, did a really good article on, you know, should Christians be patriotic? I'm going to read you just some of his points here. And my answer is that there should be balance. That's part one of my answer, balance. Okay. Now, to be skeptical of the government is not to dishonor our founding fathers, but to honor them. Did you catch that? If we just go along with this government that is acting unlawfully, unconstitutionally, and even godlessly, we don't honor, we don't dishonor the founding fathers of this nation by being skeptical of that government. We actually honor them. Remember, they sought to overthrow the rule of England over a tax rate less than half of what ours has been over the last 30 years. His other point, the hatred on the left toward our founding principles is not the same thing as Christian unhappiness toward those ruling from the left. That is, it's too easy to confuse the Christians objecting to what our country is with the secularist objecting to what our country was. Very well put. And finally, he says, the division between the country and the government is not as clear as we may think. We've all seen the bumper sticker, I love my country, I fear my government. Okay. He says, I appreciate the sentiment, but while the government countenance countenances it, and in some instances even finances it, it is Americans, 1.2 million moms and 1.2 million boyfriends, fathers or husbands, that murder their babies each year. And it is a voting majority of citizens that continues to permit this. My country is made up of people who think abortion, sodomy, theft, aggression, aggressive war are all good things that the state should support. It is the electorate who is placing these people there. And I've said this before. Obama is not the problem. Obama is the symptom of a much bigger problem, and that is that we had an electorate who placed him there, who very well may place Hillary, of all people, may place Hillary in that position, who's outwardly, openly boasted of her intentions to advance the murder of babies and advance sexual deviancy at the cost of Christian values, at the expense, to sacrifice. It's the Christians and our Christian heritage, which is being laid on the altar of unabated freedom, more than liberty, just anarchy. So my part two of my answer, oh, he says, the command to pay taxes, give honor when honor is due, to pray for those who rule over us, neither command a feeling of patriotism nor rule out a faithful prophetic stance against the sins of the nation. A faithful patriot denounces his nation's sins. Now, I didn't have enough time to pull the scriptures into these notes, but there's multiple examples of godly men calling out the nation's sins, telling them to repent. You have to know the law, including God's law, and you have to be able to articulate that, to be able to articulate your grievances and say, this is wrong, this is leading to our destruction, and this is why I say so. Now, if you're not supposed to care about your country, why would you even denounce your nation's sins? Not my nation. That is a cop-out. That is such a lazy person's cop out to say, well, we're not citizens of this earth. We're just passing through. So not my business. I believe that we are going to face the same judgment as our godless nation because we failed to be stewards. We failed to denounce the nation's sins. We failed to occupy. Right? Now, part two of my response, and this, I love this book. If you guys have not read the book of Nehemiah, read this. Read it in several different versions, and then read it slow. Read it with the commentary included. This is a cool story. I love the story of Nehemiah. There's so much that can be gleaned here, and so much that applies to us, even as those hopeful of a possible remnant being able to build the American redoubt. A safe haven, a fallback position, a refuge for people to fear God more than man, to gather together. Well, that's what happened after a bunch of supernatural forces were at play that allowed a group of people to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild. Now, what does the Bible have to say about patriotism? Should we even care? But Nehemiah wept when he saw, he loved his nation. He loved Israel. He loved Jerusalem, the capital of it. And he said, they said to me, this is Nehemiah, the remnant there in the province who have survived in the exile is in great trouble and shame. Why are they in shame? The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. This was a very significant thing back then. Nehemiah's prayer. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps the covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Listen how he talks to God. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. What's he praying for? Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. He is remorseful. He's repentant. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. Listen, patriots. Listen, Christians. This is a godly man crying out to the Lord because of his nation. Because what had happened to his nation, because they were rebellious toward him. He said, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the utmost parts of heaven, spread out all over the place, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make and my name dwell there. He will rebuild it. He's asking, Lord, please help me rebuild this. In another one, in Jeremiah, he says, but if you will not hear it, my words, to turn from your ways, and this is what we should be praying for our nation to repent, to turn back, and to say, Lord, we blew it. We have sinned. Forgive us. Allow us this chance. Please heal us. Please heal our land. Change the hearts of my fellow countrymen to turn back to you. But if you will not hear it, this is in Jeremiah 13. I know, I'm going all preachy here, right? Okay, so that's okay. This is the foundation of what we stand for. Everything else is built off of it. And without this, it's all nothing. There's nothing to stand on but sand. In Jeremiah 13, 17, but if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Why? Because of his nation, because of the judgment that his nation is facing. Is that not a patriot? Is this not a patriot who weeps because of the pride of his people? But he will weep until he's sore and tears run down his because the Lord's flock is being carried away captive. That's a patriot, someone who cares so deeply about his country and the choices that they're making and what's going to happen because of it. They're going to be carried away and taken captive. Now, what's the other part here? That is that we are living in a time. Well, the other part of it is this. You guys heard of Peter Muhlenberg. I've talked about him quite a bit. Should we be concerned about building or rebuilding when we are not even part of this world? Well, I contend that there is a season for everything. The founding fathers were called at a time to fight, to build a nation. Now, that's been nobody's call or duty for the last 230 years. When the time comes around, not in America anyway, when the time comes around, there's going to be people that will be called to do things at different times. Peter Muhlenberg read from Ecclesiastes, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. There is a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time of peace." And God's going to use people in those different seasons and those different times. In our founding fathers, we cannot admonish our founding fathers for building this nation. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be spreading the gospel, not building America. Shame on you. You guys are messed up. You can't even call yourselves real Christians because you went and built a nation, because that's not what you're called to do. You are called to spread the gospel. But see, can't you do both at the same time when it is the season to do both? Because the gospel was being spread far and wide, and there was a fire that was lit in people. Hundreds, even thousands at some of these sermons, God-fearing people, they were being called at that time, in that season, to build a nation. Peter Muhlenberg was a pastor, and he gave that sermon. And he tore off his black robes, and underneath, he was wearing a Continental Army uniform. And he went on to be a two-star general and lead in the revolution to build our country. So tomorrow night, I'm going to pick up on this where I left off, and I'm going to talk about nationalism. Nationalism, that dirty word, right? Nationalism is not a dirty word. It is not, does not mean superiority. At least doesn't mean we're superior. It means we're exceptional, and we are an exceptional nation. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. You have a great evening. This is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless. Thank you.